All right. Here's the official welcome. Welcome to Christ Covenant. Let's stand together for our call to worship. From Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind and fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people. Praise the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Congregation, where does your help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's take our cantus and turn to page 160. Opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Congregation of Christ, we are here in the presence of Almighty God. Let us with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins so that we may obtain forgiveness by God's infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Congregation, arise and hear the good news of God's forgiveness. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Alleluia, praise to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glory to you, O Lord, both now and forever. Alleluia.
Please be seated. Having confessed our sin, we take this opportunity to come to the Lord in prayer. This being the last Lord's Day of the year, and we're coming into a new year, we're going to, in our prayer, also thank God for his blessing for the past year and ask that he continue to bless us in this coming year. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Father. To you be all praise and glory. Blessed be your name, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Blessed are you, O Father, for this past year of our lives. You have guided us. Blessed are you for our needs you have supplied. Blessed are you for our thirst you have quenched. Blessed are you for our wounds you have healed. Blessed are you for our prayers you have heard. We give thanks to you, O Lord, with all our hearts for this past year, for you have exalted above everything your name and your word. Lord, we have cried out to you for help, and you have heard us. We have walked in the midst of trouble, and you have preserved our lives. We have hungered and thirsted for your higher blessings, and you have given us the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Blessed are you, O God of glory, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the love of Christ we have experienced this past year. Blessed are you for the love of Christ we have experienced from our parents, from our brothers, from our sisters, and our children, and our grandchildren. Blessed are you for the love of Christ we have experienced in the body of Christ, both within this congregation and from those from other congregations. Blessed are you for the love of Christ we have experienced in your providential care. Thanks be to you, O God, gracious Father, for this past year. From you we have received every gift, the gift of life itself, the gift of light and of reason, the gift of the illumination of your Spirit. From you has come the gift of redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and the healing of our spirits by your own Holy Spirit. From you has come the hope of eternal life and all the gifts of grace for this life. Therefore, to you we give ourselves, so that you are our God and we are your people. Blessed are you, most gracious Father, as we seek your mercy and loving kindness in this coming year. Father, we pray for the church in 2007, that she might in truth be the new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Give to her true purity, that she might be without spot, without wrinkle. Give her the grace of hope, we pray, and the confidence of joy as she awaits the coming of the bridegroom. We pray for our own congregation. Grant that we might be a sign here on earth of the church that is above. Blessed are you, O Father, for your faithfulness to the church. Father, we pray for those who lead the church in this coming year, for pastors, for elders, for deacons. Fill them with your spirit of wisdom and understanding. Fill them with your spirit of counsel and might, your spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Father, for your faithfulness to your servants. Father, whose love and concern is for a world filled with many people of different races, different nations, different backgrounds. We pray for people in different lands, for peoples and nations across the earth. We pray for those near to us. We pray for those in lands far away from us. Those who differ from us in race, language, and culture. Your word declares, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And we ask that the day would be hastened when all peoples will praise you, O God. In a common life of peace and justice, let all the peoples praise you. Father, we pray for those who lead our nation for the coming year. We ask that you would anoint them with the gifts of your Spirit, with honesty and fairness and intelligence, with love of peace and of learning. Blessed are you, O Father, for you have greatly blessed our land. Father and shepherd of the flock of your people, we pray for the members of our congregation, for husbands and wives, that their love for each other might be ever richer and kinder. For children and young people, that they might grow in every good direction in the Lord. For those who live alone, that they might find friendship and community in the body of Christ. For the elderly, as the years increase, that they might have the radiance which belongs to older years, to those that are in the Lord. Blessed are you, O faithful shepherd. We also remember those in our midst that are suffering with various illnesses at this time. We pray that you would strengthen bodies that are combating colds. We pray for those that are suffering with flus, for those that weren't able to make it here today. We remember Mrs. Gallant, that you would draw near and comfort and strengthen her. We pray for Mrs. Wattell and the child that she's carrying, that you would bless her and keep them both safe and healthy. All these mercies we ask in the name of Jesus, who sits at your right hand, O Father. He it is who is our intercessor, and it is through him that we are taught to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please take your canticles again. Let's stand together. Turn to page 192.
From heaven, O praise the Lord. All angels praise the Lord, and all his hosts give praise. With him on high, sun, moon, and star, he ends the far and cloudy skies. Yea, let them glorious make. When the word he spake, into being came, and from that place, where fixed they be, by his decree they cannot pass. From earth, oh, praise the Lord, while winds that do his word, he clouds by hail and snow. Ye seeds of stall, beasts great and small, and birds that fly. Let all the people praise. Let all their voices raise to judge and give command. By young and old, by men. Bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. abundance of their transgressions cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name exalting you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield.
Amen. Scripture reading will be from James chapter 1, and I sent to Tim verses 2 to 20, but as I looked, I thought we might as well just start from the beginning, so we'll read verses 1 to 20. As we listen, remember that this is God's Word. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And verse 17 is our text. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's ask God to bless his word. Father God, we thank you, as George has prayed already, for your mercies in this past year. Father, we pray that our eyes would be open, Lord, to see your hand and your mercies in this coming year. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your word. You've given us your word. To give us life, to direct us, to lead us in your truth, to show us your greatness. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you would send us your Spirit, Lord, that we can understand your word more clearly and that we can obey you and love you, Lord, more deeply. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of Christ, we've come again to the end of another year. We're soon going to say goodbye to 2006. And I believe that it's wise and good for us to look back on this last year to see God's goodness, to see God's abundant mercy to us, and to see God's overflowing generosity towards us. Because as we have heard in our text, that not just some gifts, but it says that every good gift comes to us from our Father's all-wise and loving hand. Every breath that you take, every heartbeat that pounds in your chest is a gift of God. Your health, and some might sit here today and say, well, yeah, but my health hasn't been really great this year. But I always remember Pastor DeYoung, when people used to ask him, how you doing? His response was always better than I deserve. Right? If we look at, apart from God's grace and mercy, what I deserve, what would my health be if I had no grace or mercy from God? We really should understand that the slightest bit of health that you have is a mercy and a grace for God. So whatever your health has been this last year is a gift from the Lord. We have abundant food, we have water to drink, we have homes, we have clothing, we have cars, we have jobs, we have friends. All of these are gifts from our Father's hand. In this last year, we've experienced the beginning of a new church and the planting of Christ's Covenant Church. This is a gift from our Father's hand. Each Lord's Day, we're blessed because we come and God invites us to come into His presence. We are blessed to hear God's Word declared to us. We are blessed to have God declare to us as a congregation that your sins are forgiven. We are blessed that as a congregation, we are invited to come into God's presence, into His courtroom, to bring our petitions and our prayers. As I said, we are blessed that we can receive counsel from God as God speaks through His servants to instruct us, to lead us in the paths of righteousness. And we are blessed that we can sing songs of praise, songs of joy, songs of thanksgiving. And we are blessed that God invites us every week to come and feast with Him at His table, that He feeds us, He strengthens us, He nourishes us, and we are truly a blessed people. But our passage of Scripture doesn't merely restrict God's good gifts, and I have good underlined, good gifts to the things that make us happy, to the things that we would define as good. We have to remember that God is the one who defines for us what is good and what is not good. And as I read through James chapter 1, I hope we're all listening to that, because before we actually heard that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from our Father's hand, we weren't reading things that talked about God-given homes and clothing and good friends and family and maybe a nice bottle of wine on top of that. Right? What did we read in the first part? Well, in the first part of James 1, it talks about having your faith tested by various trials. And he doesn't say, notice it says, count it all what, brethren? Count it all joy when you face various trials. Count it all joy when you face various trials. It talks about the shortness of human life. It talks about the blessings of God's people coming from enduring temptations of evil. These words, as God's people, they're for us. Because if we're honest and if our eyes have been open to the last year, we would realize that everything hasn't been sugar and spice and everything nice, has it? Right? So when we hear that every good gift comes from above, I don't want us automatically to think that that just means that God's just saying, that means that if you're my people, that it just means life is just going to be tiptoeing through the tulips and smiles and laughing all the time, because good gifts means that I'm the candy machine in the sky and you put in your little quarter and crank it and whoo, out comes the gumball. God's when He says good gifts, in our mind, we shouldn't automatically always think good meaning nice, happy, fun-filled. So what's the opening? Well, you know what? We've had blessings of announcements of new life. Babies conceived, and we have babies in the womb. We've had babies born with Yolanda, Juanita, Heidi. But we've also had the hardships of saying goodbye to those we love this year, haven't we? We have people in our congregation who had to say goodbye to people they loved. We've had the blessing of beginning a new church, but I can personally say that I've gone through some of the hardest times imaginable in actually having to say goodbye when we left, and some of the hard times we went through when we left our old church family. We've experienced great health, But as we've already said, there's some among us who've experienced less than great health and have struggled. And we do need to remember to constantly to pray for one another in that. There's been much prosperity amongst us in our businesses, in our places of employment. But there's been those who've lost their jobs. And there's been those who've had struggles, whether it's with employees or with bosses. And what God wants to remind us today, as His children, is that those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose, is that none of these things have come by accident. Right? This isn't a chance universe. You know, things just don't come into our lives with no thought. Your Father who loves you, who is all wise, He has brought this into your life. And all of them come to us for our good from our Father. God promises us they're for our good. And so if every good gift and every perfect gift comes from our Father's hand, how are we supposed to respond? How are we supposed to receive these gifts? Well, are we supposed to receive them with indifference? Do we have the who cares attitude? No. Thanklessness with selfishness and greed? Give me more gifts. More gifts. More gifts. Of course not, right? That isn't the proper way. So at this Christmas time, I wanted to implant in my children's hearts and minds, and at the same time into my own, that you cannot separate the giver from the gift. And I wasn't saying, you know, Christmas time is just a commercial time and gifts are wrong, and I wasn't being the Grinch. What I was telling my kids is we have to get out of the mindset that we look at the gift and that's all we see. It's just, you know, and we get together, what did you get? What did you get? What did you get? Right? And so all of us is the, what did I get? Right? Here's the item. And what I was wanting to instill in my children's and my mind at the same time is when you look at the gift, you need to be able to see the face of the giver in that gift at the same time. We can't separate them. So we need to train ourselves and our children how to receive gifts as believers. So I just had a few things here. The unbeliever, he takes God's gifts his whole life long. Right? The Bible says when it rains, when the sun shines, everything. Everything I said to you, when your heart beats, you know, when you have health, when you have life, when you can go into the baseball game and laugh with friends. When the unbeliever does these things, they're just as much a gift to him. Right? Except he's not giving God thanks. God's actually given these gifts. The book of Romans says God's given these gifts to bring this guy to repentance, to show that the giver is a God of mercy and goodness and kindness. But the unbeliever, he stores up wrath for himself because he just takes the gifts and he gives no thanks and no thought to the giver. Other unbelievers acknowledge and give thanks to someone out there, right? You talk to them, we probably talk to them at work, and yeah, I believe there's someone out there, right? Right. So if they have some good gifts, you sort of give the tip the hat, and you know, thank you to whoever's out there. But they don't acknowledge that every good gift comes from God the Father, and every good gift can only come to us through the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. Now, I want you to compare this. Compare this now. Imagine you guys, whatever gifts and talents you have, or if you aren't good at putting things together with your hands like myself, imagine that you've labored for months on end, whether it's crocheting or sewing or building something, and you build this beautiful gift for someone. Right? You wrap it up nice, and you put the label on it, and you know, you can put the labels from you, right? And so it's time to open the gift, and the person just, you know, and there's a room full of people like this, and they just tear open that gift, right? And they look and, oh, thanks, someone. You know, and then they go off with their gift, right? Well, they thanked, right? And you were in the crowd, so I guess, you know, you could say, well, I guess you got thanks, right? Now, I want to ask, would you feel like you were appreciated in that and your efforts? No, you'd think, what went on? Thanks, someone? Like, I had my label on there with my name. You know what the Bible says? Through the created order, it says that all men know God. They know the God that we know from the Bible, that He exists. And so when men just, you know, oh, thanks, someone else. No. God wants for us to acknowledge Him. Him, the God the Father, and God the Son, God the Spirit. We're to acknowledge Him. Another form of unbelief when we receive a gift is shown when the unbeliever, when he receives the gift from the giver, and then he uses that gift against the giver. So I have a few examples here, but imagine, because remember, our life, our health, all of these things are a gift from God. So the unbeliever, he receives these things, and then he uses them actually to fight against God, to fight against God's commandments. And so now, imagine one of my lovely children. We'll say Melissa, because she's the oldest, right? Because when I'm saying this, I'm not saying, you know, you have your one-year-old and you give him a paint set and he's like drawing on the wall, right? Because he's single, maybe he doesn't know better at that time. But imagine giving one of your older children a nice paint set, and then I go and I look at my car, and Melissa painted all over the car, right? I'd be like, what? What are you doing? You know, you're not supposed to do that, right? Or imagine one of you gives me a new golf club, right? And all of a sudden you're in your house and you hear this boom, 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 right? And you see me in the front yard drilling balls at your house, right? Like, would you think that I was actually appreciating the gift that you gave me, right? You'd be thinking, what are you doing, right? So again, if you take the gift and you use it against the giver, it's a sign that you're not appreciating and using the gift as the giver has intended. Now, I use the unbeliever as an example, but we as God's children need to be careful, because God blesses us with good things, and we need to be careful that we use these good things for the advancement of God's kingdom and not against the advancement or for our own hurt. So God gives us jobs, God gives us monetary wealth to advance His kingdom, and He doesn't give us these things for us to ignore His kingdom in the pursuit of building our own. And I remember within the first year when I was first a Christian, I remember hearing, it was an older pastor, and he was talking about blessings, and he talked about the young couple, how they came to him one day and they said, the Lord blessed us with a new motorhome. And he was like, oh, he was very happy for them, glad, right? Someone had given them this motorhome. But then he went on to say, but as time went on, he says, I realized that blessing wasn't quite the blessing that they thought or that we thought. He says, because all of a sudden, now they used the motorhome that they went camping every weekend, and they no longer came to church. Right? And so we have to remember that God has given us direction in His Word, and His blessings should never conflict with what God is requiring of us in His Word. So when God sends His good gifts our way, whether they be of the quote-unquote the nice variety pack, which is prosperity, happiness, fun times, or whether they be of the trial and temptation variety pack, loss of health, loss of jobs, loss of a loved one, we need to see these gifts and see the faith of the giver in them. And we need to remember that things don't happen to us by accident or by chance. It's like there's someone out there. No, God, the Father, who loves you, they are coming into your life for a specific reason, because He wants them to come in. We need to receive these gifts, and we need to use them to advance our Father's kingdom, and not to use these gifts in such a way that fight against His kingdom. So, again, I won't get you to raise your hand, but it's easy to be thankful for nice gifts, right? Like, when someone gets a job, no one says, you get the job, like, praise the Lord, right? And it just doesn't quite flow out as easy if you lost your job, right? Especially if you lost your job for, someone cheated you, or you lost it wrongfully. It's not, praise the Lord. You know, it just doesn't seem to flow as easy, right? Or if you've been healthy and, praise the Lord. And then you got something happened to your leg, right? Praise the Lord. You know, for the sore, it just doesn't seem as to come as easy, right? But we need to realize that there's reasons for the not-so-nice gifts, which are still good. So let's look back. We've talked about the one already, but I'll just read it, and then I'll take us to another scripture. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But then he goes on, he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God brings trials into our lives as good gifts, but He brings trials into our lives to produce patience in us And then that when it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. We need to make sure that when the trials come into our life, that we are viewing them coming from our Father. They are coming with a specific purpose to them, because then when we realize that, we need to make sure that they are producing in us the patience that the giver of the gift is intending. He's intending. Michelle, if you have struggles, or Crystal has struggles, trials in your life, it's not just for no reason. God's bringing them into your life to shape you and to mold you to be more like Christ. Romans 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then the Apostle Paul goes on, he says, and not only that, right? Because that's pretty good news, right? All of your sins have been forgiven. You're made right with God. Like, we hear that, we think, that's great. And then Paul says, and guess what? Not only that, he says, but we also glory in tribulations. Right? And you're like, what? We glory in tribulations? We glory in hardships and trials? Well, why, Paul? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Why does God bring tribulations and trials into our life? Because He is shaping us and molding us and making and sanctifying us to be more and more the people that He wants. And that's the tool, one of the tools, that He's chosen. And He's all wise, and we're not. So whenever we think, yeah, but there's got to be a better way, how come it just can't be all nice stuff that makes me more like Jesus? Well, that's just not my plan. My plan is we're doing it this way. So how can we receive the not-so-nice gifts in the way in the good way, the proper way? I'm just going to take us quickly through a couple verses here. The first one is in Philippians chapter 2. And as I read this, I have to admit to you from the pulpit, I read this and I'm convicted, because I fail. This is something where my heart needs to be way more conformed to the Word of God than it is, because there's times where I look at this and I just think, that is so not me. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. And if we have to be honest, who grumbles and complains and disputes when everything's nice? Right? So when we think things are rotten, all of a sudden, well, I got an excuse. Right? Like, haven't you seen what my life's like? It stinks, right? Like, I have a right to complain and grumble. But do you, if God is the author of your life and He's the one who's bringing these things into your life, God's saying, I don't want you to be grumbling and complaining. The children of Israel grumbled and murmured and complained. And it didn't really work out well for them. We need to realize, no, God is in control. Ephesians 5:20. What is our proper response? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to learn to give thanks. Even when things stink, hey, we need to give thanks in all things. And that doesn't mean, honestly, I'm not meaning, let's just have this fake, plasticky, Christian, everything's happening. That's not that. But it's understanding that God is bringing things into our life for a reason. So like I said, sore leg. Like, honestly, when I trip out there and hit it, I don't like, whoa, praise the Lord, I split my head open on the side. It's not that, but it's also understanding that, you know what, that did happen for a reason, right? So I'm not saying it's always like, woo, praise the Lord. But I am saying we need to keep our eyes open to realize that there's a reason for it. So how do we receive the gifts in a bad way? Well, be a complainer and a grumbler when bad things or hard things happen in your life, and be thankless and never give thanks for things. And then you're receiving the good gifts that God sends in a way that you should not. So we need to view our trials and our temptations through the greatest gift that God gave. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God," or some translations say, "but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Salvation, brothers and sisters in Christ, is a gift, and for us, it's free. There is absolutely nothing you can do to earn or merit God's favor. It is a free gift, but it's free for us. The giver had to purchase this gift. In the book of Acts, it says that God purchased it with His own blood. Jesus purchased His bride, His church, with His own blood. He gave His life so that we could have eternal life. And we need to view not just eternal life, meaning, well, pie in the sky someday, you know, glory. It's eternal life is now. It starts now. And every good gift that you ever will experience or you have experienced only comes to you and flows from our Savior's wounded side. So it's not Jesus, He purchased us eternal life, but He purchased every other gift that comes from that. And God shows us in His Word that we're supposed to view our trials and our temptations through a wide-angle lens. Far too often we look at things like this, right? We've got the horse blinders on, and so all I can see is, oh, that looks just so bad, and it's just gonna, you know, and when you have it like this, it's just gonna last forever and ever. Oh, this is just miserable and horrible, right? But how did the Apostle Paul, how did he encourage us? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our light affliction. What was your light affliction, Paul? Tell us what your light affliction was. And I think I've shared this already, but this I marvel when I see what the Apostle Paul's understanding of a light affliction is. Listen to the words of Paul in the same letter he writes later. He says, "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." He says, 5 times I was whipped with 39 stripes on my back. Paul probably just looked like Mr. Hamburger Helper. His back was probably so torn and shredded, right? He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Took rocks and threw it at him, right? He says, in perils, he says, "I was shipwrecked a night and day. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles." Who likes this guy? You know, like, there's a time where Paul says, all have forsaken me. He says, but the Lord stood with me. There was a point in Paul's life. Who did he have to stand with him? He says, the Lord did. Other than that, everyone forsook me, right? Even some of his own co-ministers, they went off, you know, things. And there's Paul left. In perils in the city? In perils in the wilderness? Like, can the guy find relief wherever he goes? He's like, wherever I go, there's perils, right? In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And he says, and besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. He says, not only do I have all this, he says, I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned that you're walking, you know, and that you're keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. And Paul says, for our light affliction, it's just for a moment. Right? And here we are, people who think you're fairly sane. And you're thinking like, what? That's your understanding of light affliction? How can you possibly say that, Paul? Paul goes on, he says, well, we do not look at the things which are seen. He says, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you know what, young people? I'm going to tell you now, my dad told me when I turned 21, he says, don't blink, son. He says, because if you blink too many times, he says, all of a sudden you realize your life's past. And I think, That was almost half of my life ago. And if you told me that I was 21, it was going to be just like that. And all of a sudden I was 40. It's just almost like, what happened? Right? And the Bible says that your life is a vapor. Right? And it's gone. And so if you're young here today, use all of your life. Use your youth to serve the Lord, and you will not be disappointed. You won't. Because you know where you will be disappointed? If you throw your life away on trinkets. The world's going to offer you all this glamour and glory. And if you throw your life away for that, you're going to be old, and you're going to look back and you're going to think, what did I trade? What did I trade for all the eternal glory and the good things that the Lord had? And you trade it, the trinket. Right? So if we keep our eyes fixed on the fact that we are facing eternity, then apart from our struggles, you know what? 10 trillion years from now, the 70 years of struggles that we went through, what is that going to be? Like, you know, do some math. I'm not good at math, but if you do it, right? The longer eternity, the longer time gets, it's just this life we have is a short life. And so may we learn to give thanks for all of God's good gifts, knowing that He works them together for our good and for His glory. Amen.
Please turn in your canvas to page 342, Be Thou My Vision.
You know, it's another thing that's gone by quick for me is I was baptized as an infant, and so in one sense I would say that I became a Christian, or I had the mark and the of being under the banner of Christ from the time I was 2 years old. But I didn't know what that meant because I wasn't raised in a home that I just had the baptism part, and I never had the raising and instruction in righteousness. But I gave my life to Jesus 16 years ago. I can't remember exactly the date, but it was somewhere between the time of July or January 1st and January 7th. It was the first week of the new year. So I look at this, and so that's another thing that's gone by extremely fast, that I've walked with the Lord for 16 years. And again... He is faithful. Excuse me. Congregation of the Lord, we have assembled yet again, and we do so aware of our sinfulness and our unworthiness. And this is something that we've already confessed. But at the same time, we were commanded in Scripture to walk in a manner that is worthy of the name we have received. And you, as a particular congregation, need to be reminded that we, your elders and deacons, are extremely grateful to God for you. Along with every church, we have our struggles, our temptations and trials, but we are also mindful of the good work that God is doing in our midst. Young men, continue in your strength. Young women, persevere in all modesty and purity. Fathers, provide for your households as you have been doing. Mothers, care for those in your charge as we know you delight to do. Husbands, we know you love your wives. Wives, we know you honor your husbands. And as citizens of our community, we know that you have been genuine salt and light, and we rejoice in the work of God. This said, you do not come to this table as a reward for being so good. Rather, you come to be nourished, that God will continue His good work in you and through you all. More good works are planned for you tomorrow, and you need strength for the journey. We do not feed our children meals because they were good yesterday. We feed them simply because they are our children. We love them. And in doing this, we know that we are equipping them to be good tomorrow. As you come to the table, you're not being graded, you're being fed. So rejoice in the work of God thus far, and as we do, let's look forward tomorrow by faith. So please stand and let us confess our faith by singing the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Thank you. precious blood of Christ was poured out for the remission of all your sins, so that drinking of Him, you may find life in Him. Please stand and we'll sing our doxology.
Page 172.
Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.